Hi, this is Matt Maser, Patreon supporter. This episode of IVND is brought to you by supporters like me.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. This is our 336th episode. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by Andy. How's your week treating you, Andy?
It's been a little hectic, as you know, as we're in the process of moving. We closed both on the old house and the new house today, and I also worked somehow.
Those are two things that you typically don't want to schedule on the very same day, I don't think.
No, it was just hard to get all the lawyers to cooperate. So we got it all figured out, and it was rough, but now it's done, and we're able to move into our new house this weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, although we've all now left the place where IVMV began.
That's so weird. Yeah, we were talking during the week that, I mean, I still consider us a Quad Cities based podcast, and now none of us, Kurt, yourself and me, we will not live in the Quad Cities, which is really weird. But I still think we can call it home, don't you?
I think so. I mean, I still think of it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a bizarre thing because, I mean, we all still, you know, I mean, we just have a lot of sentimental attachment to it, so.
Yeah, and we work there.
Oh, yeah, and we work there, too. Yeah, I mean, Corey and I still work in the Quad Cities, so, you know, maybe we still can kind of claim it.
Right, it's where I get my check. It's not where I lay my head, but it's where I get my check. So this week's episode was brought to you by ParkWiz.
It's not where I lay my head, but it's where I win my bread.
Oh, man. So to start things off, we should probably explain our absence. We strive to be as consistent as possible. I think that's something that we're good at. It's one of the few things we're good at is consistency, although we haven't been very good lately. This summer's been pretty chaotic. As Andy mentioned, you guys are in the middle of a move and trying to navigate getting out of a house before you can get into a house and all that kind of stuff. And so that kind of played a small role. I was in Dallas-Fort Worth this last weekend for a podcasting conference. It was a great opportunity to hang out with people that are doing what we do here on this podcast, talk with them, learn from them, teach them what we've learned. I got to meet Mark Maron. That was pretty awesome. Got my picture taken with Mark Maron. Nice. Yeah, he was wearing jorts. But he made him look like he's just that kind of dude. Like he's just so cool. Like anything looks cool on him, you know. Like
but
I could.
If he weren't Mark Maron, I mean, would it still look cool?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like if I tried to like roll into a place wearing jorts and flip flops, I couldn't pull it off. It just wouldn't work. But I don't know if it's the mustache. It's something about that dude. He just, I don't know.
I think I could pull off some jorts.
Oh. All right, bus trip on Saturday. I want to see you wearing jorts.
I don't own any. Is that a problem?
No, you got to go get some.
Right.
Also, Sarah Koenig from Serial was there, so that was pretty cool.
That's cool, too.
Yeah, Aisha Tyler. I got to hear her talk and stuff. I didn't get to meet either of those two. I guess Mark Maron was the biggest person that I got to talk to. But Aisha Tyler was really, she was funny. It was good.
I've always liked her.
Yeah, said a lot. Both, all of them, everybody that was there. I've talked before on this podcast that I'm a big fan of the podcast 99% Invisible, and that host Roman Mars was there, and he gave a keynote, and basically he like sat up behind a desk and delivered the keynote in the same style as his show, like working in like sound clips and stuff, you know, because they're kind of like an NPR type podcast.
Sure,
I mean, I think they're loosely affiliated, they're part of Radiotopia, but it was really cool. But anyways, it was a lot of fun. We actually rented a house down there, and I got to meet fellow podcaster, and IVNV listener, Josh, from Pod on Pod. That's a podcast review show. So if you want to learn about other podcasts, that's a great place to go. But Josh actually told Tawny, my wife, that IVNV was the first podcast that he found on his own. So,
wow.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun to hang out with him and his co-host Joel and their wives and stuff. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. My friend Nick Suberling, who's a Bengals podcaster, stayed with us too, Cincinnati Bengals podcast. So it was a lot of fun. So that's what we've been up to. I would hope that you wouldn't think that we were done or we were disappearing. I don't know. For Christ's sake, we podcasted for 6 years on bad Cubs baseball. We're not going to disappear when they're in a playoff push.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, we're here to stay.
Yeah. Before we get to Cubs talk, though, I briefly want to talk about our upcoming events. But first, this episode is brought to you by all of our Patreon contributors, and we feel honored that 88 of you pledge your financial support to keep this podcast going. But I do want to let you know that if you support through Patreon, you should occasionally log in and make sure that your bank information is up to date. If you've recently received a new bank card, your payments will be declined because that card needs to be updated. In fact, there are a few contributors whose payments have been declined for a long time. And I know some podcasters that will eventually remove people that have declined payments. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, there are a number of Patreon supporters with declined cards right now. And if you pledge your support and you enjoy this podcast, you probably assume that your support is going to us, and it might not be. So if you're a Patreon supporter, log in, check to make sure everything is up to date. And thanks to all 88 of you for financially supporting this podcast. It's really nice to have 88 people financially supporting it instead of three people financially supporting it like we did for a number of years. So we do appreciate that. So
yeah, that's incredible.
So the bus trip this Saturday, we filled up a charter bus. We're going to see the Cubs take on the Giants, one of the teams that they are battling for a playoff spot. We're going to do a meetup in the Quad Cities the night before. We'll be hanging out at Bent River in Moline around 7, and then we'll go from there. So, yeah, if you're in the Quad Cities, meet up with us. And then our group will get up to Wrigley on Saturday. The game starts at 3. I'd say we'll get there probably around noon. So if you're up there, not with our group, but you want to meet up with us and stuff, then you can email me, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y at IVNV.com, or you can tweet at us. We do live in a social age, so I figured we could maybe fire up Periscope and live stream some of the bus ride and stuff like that. Maybe we do a trivia every year, so I thought maybe that would be fun. So you can follow us on Periscope. I don't know. I think it's IVMB, but I don't really know what our account is on there. But you can follow us on Twitter for those updates. And then also, you know, we'll be posting on Instagram and stuff, so you can follow at IVNV Podcast on Instagram. Yeah, and then I was going to suggest to people on the bus, like, that are doing pictures and stuff like that, like, to use the hashtag IVNV, so you can follow along. So we've missed a lot since our last episode. For one, the trade deadline came and went, and I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on this, but maybe just get us caught up, Andy.
Sure, yeah. The Cubs weren't that active at the trade deadline. It's rumored that they were making plays at some other players and things like that, but it really says a lot just what they, you know, the little that they did do. It says a lot perhaps about what this team is, where they're at, I guess, in the process. But they went out and got a hard throwing relief pitcher in Tommy Hunter for Junior Lake. So that was a good move, as the bullpen needed some shoring up, needed some more options as far as the back of the bullpen. And Tommy Hunter, he hasn't had much time. He hasn't gotten into too many games. He's pitched 1.2 innings, but he has yet to give up a run, and he has one save already. So he's just gives him another option. He throws really hard, high 90s, and so it's good to see them have a guy like that back there. And you know, it was a good time, I think, to move Junior Lake, as it seemed like his time with the organization had really kind of run its course. But he had really rebuilt his value in Iowa, as he'd played well at the AAA level this year. In fact, His slash line was 315, 404, and 472 in AAA. So it was a good time to sell him, as he looked like a pretty attractive piece, and they got Tommy Hunter for him.
It was kind of hard to see exactly where he would fit in.
Exactly, that too. Future. I mean, he never had performed really that well at the big league level either, and he'd had many opportunities to do so. The other move that the Cubs made was Dan Herron for Elliot Soto and Ivan Pinheiro. And so that was just, the Cubs trying to find a fifth starter basically in the rotation. Dan Herron has made it no secret really that he's planning on retiring after this year. He's not a hard throwing pitcher, but he's crafty. He knows how to work batters and things like that. So he's a good guy to have in there. He actually started tonight's game. He gave up 4 runs, but only 3 of those were earned, as the Cubs had an error. Anyway, they traded him for Elliot Soto and Ivan Pinheiro, who were both playing at the AA level. Pinheiro had pitched fairly well this year. He started 20 games. He had a 7-6 record and a 3.87 ERA and 109 innings pitched already for the Smokies. So he'd been pretty solid for them. Elliot Soto was having an okay season. He's a guy that's, he plays shortstop. Has 0 home runs this season, in 313 at bats. So that kind of tells you what kind of a player he is. But he was only hitting .268 with a .383 on base percentage. So for a guy that's not going to have that much power, but plays pretty solid defense at shortstop, they'd probably like to see a little bit higher average and on-base percentage, et cetera.
Man, it seems like he'd been in the system forever.
Right. I mean, we saw him play in Peoria kind of back when maybe Javi was there.
It almost feels like it was before that, but it probably wasn't. It just feels like it.
Yeah. So, those two guys are on the move, and the Cubs pick up Dan Herron for those two guys, and Dan Herron will just be here for the rest of the season and be a good option for the fifth starter.
So how did you feel? The Cubs were rumored in a lot of like really big moves and stuff. And whether or not those were actually possibilities, I don't know. But it felt a little bit, I guess, like what did this trading deadline tell you about how the front office sees this team?
What it told me is that they're not wanting to make any deals that don't make sense, that are going to undermine what they're trying to do, which is build for sustained success. So obviously they have an idea of the younger players that they don't want to get rid of, that they don't want to move, that they don't want to just give up for a rental,
Right.
What it tells me is that I think we'll probably see big things happen in the off season when they can, spend money instead of giving up some of these players to obtain perhaps, another starting pitcher, that type of thing.
I think it indicates too, like a certain level of like, I don't think this is the right term, but like contentness. I don't even know if that's a word. Being content with contentment. There we go. being content with what they have right now, what they have on the field. And I'm not sure they, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that they see this team as already competitive. And I think that they thought, well, if we could get some deals that make sense, that maybe make it a little bit sharper and a little bit better, then let's do it. But if there's stuff out there that's not going to make sense, then we already feel like they're competitive,
Yeah. Well, and because this team is set up, this is like year one for at the major league level, and I think that I really did. I mean, sure, it would have been awesome to see the Cubs strengthen this team through trades or whatever, but I just wasn't real big on the idea of getting rid of any players, because especially prospects, because I think there's probably scouts that know and smarter baseball people that know But you just never really know who's going to work out. And I don't see a real reason or a need to really, you know, part with some of these elite prospects for the 2015 season, just for this push.
Right. And I think in the next couple of years, it's going to make more and more sense at this time of the year.
Right. Right.
This is just the beginning. It's not the time really to do something crazy, and really take a gamble and give up, you know, some really major pieces, just hoping what you get in return works out.
Yeah. And I think that there's some fans that saw, you know, the Cubs make some big moves this last offseason, whether it was getting John Lester or Joe Maddon, you know, some of those bigger moves.
And Montero,
yeah. Right. And Fowler. I mean, you saw them very active. And so I think that maybe some people thought, okay, that's what this team is now. That's where they're at, is to make these big moves to go, you know, be the big market team that they really are. And mm-hmm. I think what the front office kind of indicated was they're still running this team in the same way. And like you said at the beginning, it's just whether or not it makes sense for the team.
Yeah, because we can have sustained success. We can be a big market team, but we, you know, we're competitive. Man, I was watching. I just caught a glimpse of what's going on in the game right now.
I don't know what happened. I don't know. Mott apparently forgot that he had both legs. I think he forgot to use his right leg.
that was hilarious.
It was I don't know what that was.
I think, okay, so like old school big market team tactics are, you know, anytime, let's just spend money anytime per, you know, give up prospects because we can. And so since the Cubs are trying to build for sustained success, by not making crazy moves now, they can still look at maintaining a strong farm system and then spend their money when it makes sense. And it makes more sense to do so in the off season when you don't have to necessarily give up any prospects.
Right. Like they probably, by not making big moves this trade deadline, they probably just made the 2016 and 2017 and 2018 teams better.
So. That's a great way to look at it, I think. Yeah.
So that was the trade deadline, which is coming past and came in.
Now there's still some waiver deals that could happen. The Cubs are rumored to be connected to Chase Utley, like players like that. So who knows if anything will come of that. Like, we don't like to give much credence to rumors until, you know, a trade has actually been made and we can talk about something concrete.
Right. But I think if there's something that could be done to make the Cubs better, the Cubs are still going to do it. I don't think I'm not sure. I don't know. They're very active front office, you know?
Right.
how many DFAs and everything, how many roster moves have we seen with like the same six players in the last 3 weeks, you know?
Yeah, hey Clayton, pack your stuff.
Yeah, I posted on my personal Facebook page that this summer, actually in the last like 6 weeks, as a family, we've logged like 6,750 miles or something like that. We've traveled all over the place, and Clayton Richard is possibly the only person in the country besides like truck drivers and stuff that have logged more miles than we have this year.
Oh my.
He's like, oh, I'm in Albuquerque. I gotta get to Atlanta. This week's episode is brought to you by ParkWiz, and ParkWiz is a great service that can help you find parking at Cubs games beforehand, so you can take care of it before you even go. I just looked this afternoon at this upcoming series with the Giants, and each game has parking spots as low as $10, which if you pay to park at Cubs games, you know that that's a good deal. $10 is a good deal. And ParkWiz allows owners of parking spots to rent them out. So if you drive into Wrigleyville, you know that there's enough stuff to worry about on game day. So take care of your parking ahead of time. Go to ivmv.com and click on the ParkWiz widget on the side of the page. But I want to talk about this winning streak. This is what we've been waiting for. although it hasn't necessarily been the domination that I expected in a long Cubs winning streak. I think it's been a good thing that these have been solid wins. The offense hasn't been explosive, although compared to what it was a few weeks ago, five runs kind of feels explosive right now. But you know
what really I think set the tone for this series of wins, especially the Brewers series, is I think that the series with the Rockies was Bryant's walk-off home run. Coming off the Philly series in the very first game against the Rockies, Bryant hit that walk-off home run when it seemed like the game was lost. I felt like that was kind of a key moment for the team going forward, is just that we can be competitive and win. You know, it's like,
right,
they probably felt like they had no self-efficacy and were pretty inept offensively after the Phillies. And I think that set the tone going forward as they won the Rockies series and then they swept the Brewers.
Yeah. And I think too, they're going to benefit from here on out. After the trade deadline, those weaker teams that are not in contention are now even more weak. And I think we saw the Cubs kind of be able to take advantage of the Brewers for that reason, that their team was already weak, suddenly even more weak, and the Cubs were able to go in and just take care of business.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be really, beating up on the Brewers was really going to be the thing to make the Phillies, the Phillies sweep of the Cubs fade into the mist, sort of, you know?
Yeah.
And they delivered on that. You know, it was a renewal of confidence for them, I'm sure, and, you know, and for fans in them, that they can beat the teams they're supposed to.
Yeah. But I mean, you just look ahead and the Cubs have, you know, like, we get the Brewers again next week, and I don't know. It just seems like, yeah, we get the Brewers yet again in September and the Reds, and it just seems like that there's some opportunities here to kind of beat up on some teams that have traded away some talent.
For sure.
But I think that the timing of this winning streak is really good. To be in a playoff race in September, you need to be in the playoff race in August. And to be honest, a few weeks ago, it felt like they were teetering on even being in that race. Their lead over the Giants for the wild card disappeared with that Giants big winning streak. And, you know, the team slump, it went back to before the All-Star break. And it just didn't feel like they were getting out of it. You know, on the last episode we recorded, the Cubs had gone 2-5 in that week. And in that episode, we talked about how it easily could have been 0-7. And I don't know. Maybe it sounds like hyperbole, but I think it's the truth. This winning streak has saved the season. And I don't know. I'm not positive that would be a hyperbolic statement, but I went with it.
I think you're right, though. I mean, like, coming off that Philly series would seem like such a pivotal moment. Like, and I feel, like I said, like that Bryant walk-off homer against the Rockies in the first game of that series seemed like a pivotal thing. How many times does Pat Hughes say this feels like a turning point?
Oh, my gosh. He says, yeah.
He says it all the time. Says, but yeah,
man, I'm going to say something that people will really disagree with.
Uh-oh.
And I think I've kind of hinted at
it. Skip forward 30 seconds if you're a big Pat Hughes fan.
I've not really enjoyed him in the booth as much this year. I've noticed he says that all the time, and it's like, okay, it's 162 games. And I understand, I mean, every at bat could be a pivotal moment in a baseball game, I guess. You know, I don't know. Anyways, I like Pat. I hope nobody thinks I don't like Pat, but this season
I had you muted. What did you say? Nothing. I mean, don't say it. I don't want to know.
No, I don't. I still kind of blame some of it on Coombdog, I think. But
oh, really? See, I like the radio. Broadcast has grown on me. I foresee listening a lot more going forward too.
I think part of it is that I have I think I actually enjoy listening to Lynn Casper more now than I have ever. And I think in some ways his coverage of a game is better than Pat sometimes. So,
okay, well,
I'm standing by it. okay. So I'll put some numbers to my claim that this winning streak has saved the Cubs season. And, we're recording right now during the Wednesday night game, and it looks like the winning streak may be ending. But I think it's helped probably in some intangible ways, clubhouse stuff, mood, mentality of the game, confidence of the team, things like that. But that's just an assumption. But you can quantify it with some numbers. So at the All-Star break, the Baseball Prospectus playoff odds for the Cubs, they were at 69%. So a 69% chance that the Cubs would make the playoffs, at least get a wild card spot. A week ago, last Wednesday when we recorded, it was down to 40%. So, what, a drop of almost 30 percentage points. In the last week, so that's the six-game winning streak, it's jumped to 68.3%. So, up, what did I say it was at? 40. Yeah, so basically almost back up to where it was. Almost 30-point increase in the last week, which is crazy. And so that's why I kind of stand by my statement that this winning streak has saved the season.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean, it might be venturing into hyperbole territory, like you said, but I don't know. I can buy that.
So I think let's kind of look at the reasons for this winning streak. The pitching has played a large role in these wins, and it's really just played a large role in the success of the team this season. But these starters are not messing around right now.
No, they're not. And, for example, Arrieta's been really strong. I want to talk about Wednesday's game last week when Lester took the mound and struck out 14 and pitched 8 innings also. That says a lot when you strike out 14 batters and you also go deep in the game like that.
Right.
It
would say more if you struck out 14 and only went 3 innings.
Sure.
That would say a lot.
Did you say strike out 14 and only played 3 innings?
Well, I was just saying that would
say that you're playing a game that's not baseball.
I would admit it's more believable that he would strike out 14 and go 8 innings than.
Oh, I'm just saying like strikeouts usually lead to a little bit higher pitch count.
Right, right.
So, I don't know exactly what his pitch count was that late in the game, but it was a great outing, and so all around him, the pitching has been pretty solid lately. For example, I mentioned Jake Arrieta in his last start, or I'm sorry, in the last 7 days, he's had 13 innings pitched, and he's only given up 2 earned runs, struck out 11 in that span. Batters are hitting 163 against him. Jason Hamill had a little bit of a bounce back start his last outing. Hector Rondon has gone 3-for-3 in save opportunities, although he has been a little bit shaky at times in his appearances. Just for the most part, I mean, the numbers have been pretty good. And, Tommy Hunter's bolstered the bullpen. Justin Grimm has pitched well. Overall, it's been pretty solid.
Yeah, I saw that today Kerry Muscat tweeted that during this six-game winning streak, the rotation has a 1.59 ERA and the bullpen has a 1.26 ERA. So if that's the production from your pitching staff, you're going to win some games.
Well, how about Kyle Hendricks, too? Like his last outing, he went deep in that game. He pitched 7 innings, which is pretty solid and deep in a game for him.
Yeah, I have to admit, though, I'm really kind of bummed that we're not going to get to see Lester start on Saturday, because when he pitched on Monday, that's how it looked like it would line up, that we would see him on Saturday. And then because of the rain delay and the fact he only threw what, like 30 or 35 pitches, something like that. He's actually going to start on Friday. So then we will see Kyle Hendricks pitch. But I was really bummed about that because I was like, Lester is pitching so well right now. And not only do I want to watch him, but I want to see the Cubs win. And I thought, it's more likely with a Lester start. But oh, well. So we got Hendricks against Kane, I believe.
Right. And Hendricks has been... His two outings before his last one were pretty rough. He gave up 9 earned runs total in the two starts before this last one on the 1st of August. But like I said, in this last one on the 1st of August, he gave up 1 earned run, went 7 innings, only walked 2 batters while striking out 6. So if we see that Kyle Hendricks on Saturday, I will be quite pleased.
Yeah, hopefully we do. So that's the pitching, the role that that pitching has played in this winning streak. The offense, again, it was just so pathetic for what, 3 weeks, maybe close to a month. Nobody was hitting. Schwarber provided a spark when he came up, but you look at that lineup and it should have been just terrifying to opposing pitchers. Bryant, Rizzo, Soler, Schwarber, Castro, Russell, and they just weren't producing. And that's where you need your veterans to step up. And since Anthony Rizzo is close to a veteran position player that the Cubs have, he sure stepped up. In the 6-game winning streak, Rizzo's gone 12 for 24 with 4 home runs. And I think that really just takes a lot of pressure off of young players. And I think that it kind of teaches them how to break out of these slumps. For example, Addison Russell, he's hitting the ball a lot better right now. In the last week, he's batting .304. So he has a season strikeout rate of 28.3%. And in the last week, he struck out 3 times in 23 at bats. So a significant improvement there. Schwarber is hitting the ball. Soler is. Castro is starting to. He's not on a tear, but he's hitting better than he has in quite a while. And he had that game a few days ago where he hit 2 doubles in the game. Unfortunately, Bryant is not joining that list. He's batting .125. That was before tonight's game. .125 in the last week. 2 hits and 16 at-bats and 8 strikeouts. So I think the important thing is now that now Bryant can go through this learning process, these growing pains, and it's not killing the team. You know, he can get 2 hits in a week and strike out in half of his at-bats, and the Cubs can still reel off 6 wins in a row. And that's where you need other people producing, and that wasn't happening really for the number, it felt like a month, but.
Right, yeah, I mean, a guy can, but this team, I mean, this is a good enough team where one guy can struggle and, you know, everybody else can kind of pick it up. But when everybody's struggling, it's going to be rough. And it just shows how important Rizzo is, though, to the success of this team also. If he's playing well, it just seems like the team kind of tends to follow.
Right. And when he struggled, it was ugly. You know, I mean, that's when he was struggling. There was when things did not look good. That week was terrible for him. They went 2-5. So, but it feels to me like the offense is kind of coming back to life, and it had to. You know, let's not forget this is unknown territory for a lot of these players. Soler, Bryant, Schwarber, this 162 game season is a new thing for them. Russell has only played close to this number of games once in his career. That was 2013. So I guess that kind of leads us into the next discussion. What do we expect over the next couple of months, these last 2 months of the season?
Boy, you know, I expect them to be very competitive for the wild card, just in general. I don't think we'll see them go through an entire sort of like team slump as far as the offense is concerned like they did. I think we will continue to see perhaps one player at a time sort of go through a really rough stretch. But I think that...
do you think, though, that that slump, that team slump, in the mm-hmm. long run made this team better? I think it was a big learning experience that they all needed to go through.
No doubt. I mean, facing adversity and then kind of coming through it, like bursting out of that tunnel into the sunlight. I mean, it makes them better, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm positive about the rest of the season too. I do think that we have to be realistic enough to say that we don't really know. And it's quite possible that this grind could catch up to these young guys. Like I mentioned, they're not used to these long seasons yet. And there aren't just the physical demands. And I mean, obviously, I don't have any personal experience with this, but a full MLB season and a playoff race, those have to have huge mental demands in addition to the physical stuff. And I don't think any of us know. And I think it's going to be important for Cubs fans to keep our cool if this team does not quite cross the finish line into the playoffs. I think, you know, this is a team that is built for the future. This is a season where we expected 500 or slightly better. We've had the pleasure of watching them click right away out of the gate. But let's be honest. I mean, chances are, whether the Cubs get into the playoffs or not, this season will probably end on a negative note. I'm not saying that the Cubs can't win at all. I'm just saying it's really hard to do that. Those baseball prospectus odds that I mentioned earlier, the Cubs, their odds to win the World Series, that's 4.1%. So there's a 96% chance, according to Baseball Prospectus, that the Cubs will lose their last game. And that doesn't mean that this season was a failure. I think we can already call it a success. And it doesn't mean that there's huge issues with this team. You know how people... we look for internet muscle flexes. you know that if this team loses to end the season, if this team does not win at all, there are going to be people calling for drastic changes. Obviously, nobody's going to, the Cubs aren't going to pay any attention to that stuff, obviously. No. But I think it's probably not a good place for fans to be. So it doesn't mean, there's huge issues with the team. It doesn't mean that whatever player didn't perform down the stretch is a bum. I know we have 2 months left, but I kind of feel like Cubs fans need to start getting ready and kind of getting into the right mental place heading into this stretch.
That's a good point, because we talked in one of the recent podcasts how easy it is to let your expectations get out of control when we see a little bit of success. But back to the point of, can the Cubs handle the pressure of the last 2 months of the season? I think that's also why guys like David Ross and Dexter Fowler are there, is to model the mental toughness and fortitude that it takes to Montero to play through this many games in a season,
right?
And play effectively for that long stretch.
Right. Yeah. Do you have anything else you wanted to talk about before we move on to listener questions?
No, let's look at the questions.
All right. Well, before we do that, don't forget, if you shop on Amazon.com, you can help us pay the podcasting bills by going to IVMV.com. No, don't go there. Sorry. Let me start that over. Well, before we get to those, don't forget that if you shop on Amazon.com, you can help us pay the podcasting bills by going to IVMV.com and clicking on the Amazon link on the right side of the page. Amazon doesn't charge you anything extra. They give us a percentage of your purchase, and it's a win all the way around. So this first question here comes from Jason in Korea, and he said, "No deal for David Price, and I like it. Why deal prospects when they can get him in the offseason and keep the farm? I see what the Cubs are doing. If they make the playoffs, that's obviously great, but the plan is for next year and the 10 after that. Thoughts?"
Yeah, I mean, this kind of echoes what we said already. I'm right on board there with you.
Yep, I agree. I mean, it's not this year. I like what he said. It's not this year, but it's next year and the 10 after that. I like that.
I'm on board for 10 straight playoff appearances.
Yes.
Mark me down as interested.
Travis is at TA Crow on Twitter, and he says, Besides Schwarber, who could make the bigger... besides Schwarber, who could make a big impact when the rosters expand?
You know, the players that I'm interested in seeing would be Christian Villanueva, who's played pretty well at Iowa this season and has kind of had a power surge as he has 14 homers in Iowa this season. So I think I'd like to see Christian Villanueva.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Javier Baez.
The usual suspects.
Right, Carl Edwards Jr., maybe
Mike Olt, maybe.
Yeah, Carlos Pimentel, maybe. I mean, I think that the key is that I kind of feel like we've seen, as far as like the everyday players that are going to impact this team, and maybe even like players that will be, say the Cubs do make the playoffs, who will be on that 25-man playoff roster, I kind of think we have what we're going to have. But when the rosters expand and we have them in April, I think there's just going to be a lot of bench players, like you mentioned, Villanueva and Baez, Edwards Jr., you know, like I think we will see some of those players. And who knows, maybe they can work their way onto a playoff roster or something like that. But I do think that some of those players could make a big impact.
Yeah.
Dawn is at Sunrise on Twitter, and she says, when is Ross going to get some love from fans? And is it bad that I love all three of our catchers? Can we keep them all, please? Can we? First off, with Ross, I thought that Cubs fans loved David Ross. I didn't realize that he wasn't getting any love, because I'll tell you who does love him. The Cubs Twitter account. They love David Ross.
Well, and the commentators too. I mean, Len Casper has repeatedly taken to Twitter to defend David Ross. David Ross does get flamed a lot on Twitter.
That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, well, it's because all people can see is the stupid batting average. You know what I mean?
Right. I just was thinking about after he picked that. Who did he pick off first base? I can't remember. But anyway,
to win the game. Yeah.
No. I'm thinking about this most recent one. That was just last couple days. Jeremy from Mesa, I don't know if he posted it in our Patreon group on Facebook or whatever, but he said something about how like Ross is basically like an old grandpa, like scowling at kids to get off his base path. But I just think it's so funny that like, it's official. The winning streak has ended. So now we can talk about it in the past. It's kind of funny, cause it's like he gets so pumped when he does that. Like when he throws behind, it must've been on Monday's game, cause I think I was listening to it on the radio. I don't know. Did you see the GIF from it or whatever, where he's like just scowling, and it's awesome because it's like Lester can't throw over there for whatever reason. And so, you know, these two, Lester and Ross, they're a package. And so Ross is just like, all right, I'm going to do, I mean, Ross has picked off more players than a pitcher usually does, you know?
Well, at first, you mean?
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you don't see pickoffs work real often.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple a year, but what Ross has had two, I think, that I know of, that I can remember.
Yeah, no, I like Ross a lot. I don't mind him at all. I think he's there. They need players like him on the team with how much youth they have. A guy that shows a lot of fire and competitive spirit. I just think it's really important for him to be there right now. And he does, like Len Casper said so well, is that he might not hit for average, but he does everything else well.
Yeah. When we sat next to him at that B game at spring training, we obviously didn't know him real well yet, but I did not. He looked way more laid back sitting in the stands next to us. he did not have that intensity.
Well, did you see that picture he posted on Twitter of during the rain delay of him and Rizzo like sleeping?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Having a little slumber party or whatever.
But it, like Dawn said, she asked, you know, if we can keep them all. Yeah, I honestly think we're going to see all three of those on the roster for the next couple of years. And I think they'll make it work. I think Madden's already talked about how, you know, that he's kind of got some ideas for how to slide everybody in and how to make everything work. So it helps that Schwarber can play left field. And I think this is what we're going to have through this year and next year. Next one here comes from David. It says, if it came down to the Cubs and Pirates in the wild card game, who would you want the starting pitcher to be? So before we give our answer, though, I'm curious what all of you listening think about this idea of the starting pitcher in the wild card playing game. So right now, pause this podcast. Don't forget to come back to it, though. But just pause it right now and call into our show. If you have the IVMV iOS or Android app, then tap on contact the show, then tap on call the show. If you don't have our app, it's free, by the way, so there's no reason, unless you have like a flip phone or something, in which case that's cool. If you don't have our app, then call this number. It's 309-517-0624. Call in right now. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and who you would want to start that game, the wild card play-in game, and why you want that pitcher. And then we will play all the answers on Sunday night's episode. So what's your answer, Andy?
My answer is John Lester. Surprise, surprise. The guy with the most experience and the guy who is the ace of the staff and the guy that you're paying to be the guy.
If it's today, I say Arrieta.
See, I think a lot of people would say that. I think a lot of people would say Arrieta, and I don't think he's the guy yet. I think he's amazing. In the long run, he probably, you know, well, is an ace. But I mean, think about the experience factor playing in a game with that much pressure.
Well, let me kind of qualify it. I say Arrieta, sitting here in my basement. If I'm Joe Maddon, then I say John Lester. Because I think that you're right. John Lester got paid. He's the ace. He's fully capable. We've seen him pitch incredible lately. And I think that for clubhouse reasons and things like that, you probably do start your ace. So I think you're right. But right now, it's hard to not want to see Arrieta in there.
And it's hard to... He's making himself hard to ignore. I mean, the guy... The guy has incredible stuff. He can really shut down an opposing team any given day.
Yeah.
So it's hard to vote against him, but I think that for right now, John Lester's the guy.
Yep. Probably. But yeah. So let us know what you think if you haven't done it yet. If you didn't actually pause the episode like I asked you to, we're just going to sit here.
You messed up.
Right. I'm really curious. I mean, I think that there's... I would guess 99% of people are going to, I can't see anybody saying like Tsuyoshi Wada or something like that. So,
but hear me out.
I want to hear somebody make a good case for, like, I don't know, Hendricks or somebody like that. Strope.
For Clayton Richard to yeah. come back.
Moving on, Jason from New Mexico, he says, do you think social media is too quick to report trades? Hint, the answer is yes.
I disagree. Yeah, social media has added a new dimension to this time of the year that I don't think is necessarily good.
Yeah, and I mean, on this podcast, we don't talk a lot about trade rumors. We don't, you know... This time of the year, we don't really talk about trade rumors much. In the off season, we don't really talk about free agent stuff. Like, we don't like live and die with every rumor and stuff like that because there's just too many of them. And I don't know. I guess I feel like I don't just tell me when it's done. You know, I mean, I of course I'm like kind of paying attention to know who is in the discussion, but I'm not like in this off season. I'm not going to judge the Cubs' success in the offseason on whether or not to get David Price. And I'm not really going to pay that much attention until he decides on a team. I mean, I'll know what's going on, but I just can't. I don't know.
I still can't stop myself really from paying attention to it. I wish I didn't so much, but the whole problem was kind of brought into stark relief with the whole Wilmer Flores thing.
Yeah. Good point.
So, it's getting a little out of hand, honestly.
Yeah. And that right there, the what happened to Wilmer Flores should like kind of cause everyone to take a step back and look at, you know, it's not like a huge deal, obviously, but it's something that kid shouldn't have had to have gone through.
But these teams aren't trading stocks. You know, it's not like people, they're human beings, you know?
Right. So right.
It's different than just straight. It is a business, but it's different.
Yeah. Matthew says, if Olt and Baez continue to play well, is there a way they can both fit into the lineup at the major league level? Can Bryant play center?
Oh man, I really don't think you want Bryant out there all the time in center. But you know, I mean, that being said, he's shown that he can run well.
I don't think, but you don't want him out there. I mean, he's been out there this year, but you don't want him. And I think there's a way to fit. I don't know if there's a way to fit Olt and Baez into the lineup on an everyday basis, but I think they have a lot of players that can play a couple or several different positions. And I think that you might just kind of see, you know, if Baez comes up and he can play center, then that will give, you know, Russell might get a day off, might slide over and give Castro a day off. Basically what it does is I think that having all these players that if they are all like major league worthy and deserve to be in the lineup, it gives everyone. I mean, I mentioned earlier that a lot of these younger players have not played full MLB seasons and it can really take its toll on you.
So what if Mike Old is there to, you know, spell, you know, Chris Bryant or, you know, give Rizzo a day off at first base.
Right, right.
So that's how they like a player like him is going to fit in until the Cubs can kind of get it all sorted out and make the appropriate trades and things like that.
Yeah, I just think it's going to give everybody some. And down the stretch, that rest is probably much needed, so. And what great options to have coming off the bench late in the game. If you have Olt giving Bryant a day off, if he needs to come in for a pinch hit appearance late in the game, I mean, you've just got a really deep bench when you get to that point too. So,
yeah, a guy who can still go deep at any time, really.
Yeah. Okay, so this next one comes from Timothy, and he's basically asking who we think should be playing shortstop and second base next year, not taking into consideration, you know, the future impacts of on the team and contracts and stuff like that. So, what do you think, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it seems like Russell should probably be the shortstop when it comes down to it. Now, whether I think that Russell should be the shortstop. Let me say that. I don't know. It's tough to say like who the Cubs see as being the future between Baez and Castro. Both of them were rumored to be considered for pieces and trades. So I don't know at this point. It's hard to say. I'd love to see Baez get another spate of at bats in the big leagues before I, you know, make any decisions on that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, I really like Castro. What he's going through this year is just terrible for him and for the Cubs and for fans. I would like to see him as part of the team in the future. If he's not, I'm not going to be heartbroken. So that is a really hard question for me to answer right now, for next year, because there's just so many moving parts and I honestly don't know. I don't know. I guess, yeah, if you are able to slide Russell into shortstop and then second base, I either, Castro or Baez. I mean, just depending on what happens between now and opening day 2016, I guess. I really don't have a better answer than that.
Yeah.
At Rub-A-Dub Cub on Twitter says, Pierce Johnson is not on the 40-man. He is Rule 5 eligible after this year. Do you see him getting added and maybe called up?
Yeah, I definitely see him being added to the 40-man for sure.
Yeah.
He's a guy that they want to protect.
Right.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, he's number 8 on the MLB.com, the Cubs' number 8 prospect. Started the season injured this year. He's 5-0 with a 1.65 ERA for Double-A Tennessee. I just think somebody else could probably take him in the Rule 5 draft, and so they're going to need to put him. I mean, even though, I think yes. That's, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, they got to protect him.
Yeah. Couple more here. Jason says, 1 year ago today, Javi was called up. My time hop had all sorts of happy Baez day and stuff on it today. Interesting year in the
Baez saga.
Yeah. Yeah. But man, he's
playing bombs down in Iowa.
Yeah. He's doing well now. And man, I'm pulling for him. I want to see him do well. I want to see him. I'm looking forward to him getting called up again. And I hope he really takes advantage of that second opportunity. And it's been a really rough year for him. So
it could really clarify things for the Cubs if, you know, he were to come up and, or maybe muddle the waters more. I don't know.
That's what I was going to say.
For him to come up and just play really well at the big league level too. Maybe that would, you know, make the situation with Castro a little bit more clear cut. I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. Last one here. James says, if we lose tonight, is Dan Heron a bum? So we lost.
And I don't think he's a bum. I mean,
no.
You can't say a guy with the career that he has is a vagrant.
Right. All right. Well, that does it for this episode. Don't forget that we do want to hear from you. If the Cubs were to get into that wild card play-in game, who would you like to take the mound for the Cubs, and why do you want that pitcher? Leave your voicemail through the IVMV iOS and Android app, or you can call 309-517-0624. This episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon contributors. Patreon is like Kickstarter. It allows listeners to support our podcast on a monthly basis. We have pledging levels that start at $1 a month. There are perks at every level, and they get better as you go up. At this point, we are independent. We don't have a network funding us, and we really do rely on your support to pay the podcasting bills and to invest back into this podcast so that we can give everyone the best IVMV experience possible. So the Cubs wrap up the series with the Pirates tonight. It's over. Now there is a 4-game series at Wrigley with the Giants. We'll be there Saturday for our bus trip. If you're in the neighborhood, tweet at us. Let's meet up. Have so much to do to get ready for this bus trip. I'm very close to panic mode right now. I'm usually way more prepared than I am right now. Got the game ticket seating chart done today. That's way more difficult than you would think. But I'm really excited for this weekend and our weekend at the lake. But basically, August is kind of like IVNB month on my calendar. So if you're in the Quad Cities, head down to Bent River in Moline on Friday night. We'll get there around 7. So let's hang out and talk Cubs. Should be fun. Thank you for downloading this episode. And until Sunday evening, go Cubs.